Welcome in to the new PFF NFL Daily. Here's a recent snippet from the PFF NFL podcast.
Mahomes, we know, was dealing with the ankle, which was a major thing. Kadarius Toney catches one pass after almost catching a touchdown. It coming out on review, coming out once they saw it. Basically tries to juke and then ends up popping an ankle or something. So he's done. Juju goes down with a knee injury. Like they were completely out of receivers by the end of this game. They had like two guys who were running multiple tight end sets as well. The Bengals dealt with their own injuries, but that's a lot to be missing from this offense and for it still to function and be okay.
Yeah, you know, having Marquez Valdes-Scantling, a couple big plays in there from him, including the touchdown. I mean, he was even the guy Mahomes was throwing to, you know, against the blitz.
Yeah.
And, you know, the question coming in was, could the Bengals get pressure on Mahomes? And early on, they didn't really. They did try to blitz and got to him a little bit. I don't know the exact numbers right away till we review the game. But there were definitely times, too, where it felt like the Chiefs' offensive line, like you mentioned the play where Mahomes tweaked the ankle a little bit. It's almost like the Chiefs are like, what? Patrick's hurt? Let's step up our game. And all of a sudden, the pockets are just better. I could have been wrong.
Really?
Believe it or not.
Hmm.
On the Chiefs building their offensive line. And that being the strategy going forward.
You hated that.
I did, because I thought that they would get to a situation like this where the on-paper group of playmakers wasn't good enough. And I may have been wrong on that. Because I think the line has given them a little bit more flexibility where they can run the ball. I mean, they couldn't run today. It was tough to run on DJ Reader and company. But the line stepped up in games where Mahomes didn't have his mobility and, you know, gave him that little extra time to get this second-class group of receivers, basically, open.
Yeah, they didn't have much rushing success, but Pacheco made a bunch of big plays, usually after the catch. But, like, he got given the ball a bunch of times where it looked like he had nowhere to go, and that dude just runs differently to other running backs.
He does.
He runs – I think I've said this before in the podcast, but, like, when you play – at a really lower level, you can see the guys that just play with a different level of physicality and intensity. He does that in the NFL. Like, he runs with a level of violence and reckless abandon that most other running backs don't have. And it pays off. Like, there are plays where he hits a guy and you're like, that play should be over right here. And just through sheer determination and refusal to go down, he just keeps fighting through it and ends up getting yards after contact and broken tackles and first downs where they shouldn't exist.
Are you ready for the biggest Sunday in sports, Sam?
Sure.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 57. They get all the Super Bowl action you need because new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get on the Super Bowl 57 excitement with DraftKings Happy Hour Super Boosts. Wow, this is great. Check the DraftKings Sportsbook app every day from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Okay, check it every day, 6 to 9 Eastern, to see what prop bet will be boosted. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code PFF. New customers can bet $5 on Super Bowl 57 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with the code PFF. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void in Ohio. See show notes for details. You're voided here in Ohio. What else about this game just stood out to you? I love the back and forth battle. It's quite the rivalry. I mean, there's a point in there where I was talking about Cincinnati from a long-term perspective. They chuck it up to Higgins. Burrow chucks it up to Higgins on third and long. And I'm just thinking, how long do the Bengals want to just keep that trio together? Because when you talk about competing with the Chiefs and the Bills, right? Let's not forget the Bills just because they lost last week, right? They're still going to be up there. How long do you want to keep Burrow, Chase, and Higgins together? And can you legitimately put half your salary cap into three players and build around it? It's going to be tough to do because Higgins is going to command wide receiver one money. So, just what I was thinking during the game. How, you know, because that's why Burrow is so cool too, man. He knows he's got these dudes that he can throw it to when they need to.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a thing that they have to reckon with pretty soon. T. Higgins had that thing of being talked about as a number one receiver, but there was always the question of how much of it was being manufactured by having Ja'Marr Chase on the other side. Then we got to see what it looked like when Ja'Marr Chase wasn't there for a few games, and it looked exactly like everybody had been saying. Like, he is a number one caliber guy, and then when you put Chase back in the lineup, it just works even better because Chase is still the guy getting the double teams and the extra attention, which only frees up T. Higgins to generally be one-on-one as much as possible. So collectively, it is a fantastic trio. And then when you have a guy like Tyler Boyd in the slot as well, it's even better. But at some point, that starts to cost a lot of money, because once those guys get onto that second contract, it is tying down a ton of cash into those players. That being said, if you're going to start off, like if you started from scratch, you know, a roster with all of the cap space and zero money and zero players, you could argue that the first three players you'd want to tie down are your quarterback, your number one receiver, and maybe your number two receiver if he's that good. Like if he's a 1A, that might be where you want to throw the three biggest contracts that you have, you know, all things being equal.
Yeah, then the juggling of the rest of the roster.
Yes.
After that, you know, if you have Burrow locked up long term, you can move money around. I mean, if you have all of them locked up, you can move money around and kind of make it work.
But this is what the Chiefs have been dealing with already. This is what the Bills are dealing with now that they've paid Josh Allen. Like at some point, this is just the reality of it. Is once the quarterback in particular is on that second contract, you can't have everything. You're going to have to juggle and make sacrifices somewhere and, you know, cut guys that you would rather keep. But you have to figure out somewhere to give the money in addition to the quarterback.
That's why the Chiefs, you know, this was supposed to be their transition year and they were supposed to be better next year.
Right.
They gave up Tyreek Hill to maybe take a step back so that they could say, hey, next year with Trent McDuffie and Sky Moore and George Karloftis all getting better and some of the other players that we got. But here they are in the Super Bowl. And Travis Kelce, I don't know if we're going to try to play that clip or whatever.
Yes, have to, because this is the most important outcome of this game, is that the team with more bulletin board material won the game.
I was right, man. This is the one time I was right all year. I said the team with the most chips on the shoulder, the team with more bulletin board material. And by the end of the week, the Chiefs had a bigger bulletin board, man.
So at Burrowhead Stadium, what happened? Well, Travis Kelce can tell you, assuming we have this clip.
Okay, I didn't. We couldn't hear it, but it sounded like he combined. I think he started with a woo.
Yeah.
And he ended with the rock. Jabroni. I think he called the mayor Jabroni or something.
But I think you could see
it. So you combined two of the greatest wrestling promos of all time. You started with Ric Flair and finished with The Rock. That is top notch by Travis Kelce.
Yes, and also the quote, Burrowhead my ass, should probably wind up in a t-shirt somewhere.
I'm sure that's going to be a t-shirt. We don't make t-shirts anymore, but
it's true. But they sort of vindicated that, right? They clearly, that did, I think, piss the Chiefs off during the course of the week. There was plenty of bulletin board material, and they end up getting the win, and now they can rub it in all the way through the week.
It was just a great back and forth game, though, buddy. I mean, the Chiefs came out firing, right? I mean, we mentioned that first quarter, the game wasn't won in the first quarter, but you know, we see all those key plays in the fourth quarter. If the Chiefs don't get up to that early lead, 13-3, dominating. Go for that fourth down where Mahomes rolls out and finds Kelce, which was just a great play, right? Kelce runs a corner route, and Mahomes adjusts off of it. We've seen them try to run that play before, basically like back shouldering a corner. And that was the play. That was the play where they used to get Tyreek Hill open all the time, right?
Yeah.
You just roll him out, and you cannot stop Tyreek Hill sprinting to the flat. It's impossible. I mean, those are just showing all the different ways that the Chiefs are able to evolve offensively. So we'll have plenty to talk about with the Chiefs-Eagles game, but it gives two more weeks for Mahomes to heal. I mean, I don't know if we'll see any side effects with the injury. I don't think he got hurt that much. He does have that. He does limp a lot during games.
It's not
going to
be worse
fine
than it was in this game. It
shouldn't be.
You know?
So we'll have the Chiefs. We'll see what happens with all their receivers, but they'll be closer to full strength. I think Jalen Hurts, he's been hurt and banged up, a little bit off. Hopefully he's at full strength and we get a really good game.